When Jesus ministers, he's so sure that he is going to heal, someone is going to be healed. Because there were certain ways that the Holy Spirit would work with this man of God. And for that, you need to have a very close relationship with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to heal the sick, to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. To preach the gospel to the poor. So there were different dimensions of the anointing upon the head of Jesus that came. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. Hallelujah. Are you understanding, guys? Another thing. Okay, I am. Let me discuss these things. Another thing. Remember this thing. Every believer is eligible for all the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Everyone say, I am eligible
for all the 9 gifts.
So every believer, do you know, I received all the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit when I was a believer, not when I was elected as a prophet by God or apostle. No, not at this level. As a believer, I received the 9 gifts because I was hungry for the gifts. And I knew I received it, but it was through confirmation that someone came and told me in the church, brother, I don't know. God spoke to me that you have the 9 gifts. I told, okay, this is the confirmation. Then in another prayer meeting, a lady showed up and she said, son, I saw something upon you. And the Lord told me that you have the 9 gifts. All the 9 gifts are in you. So a believer, and it is very necessary. Hallelujah. See, I'm not talking, don't think I'm taking you from the fruit. I talk a lot about the fruit of the Spirit, talk a lot about character, but character without power is useless in these times. You have holiness, you have character. That is the basic, that is the foundation that we concentrate in this meeting, and that I teach on holiness and character. But if you don't have power, I'm telling you, the devil will eat you up. He will not. You've got to have power. Character and power is required for the end times for a believer. So it is not when you get into an office that you have to hunger for the gifts and all those things. Don't think you will receive 1 gift, ask for 2 gifts. Receive all the Lord wants to give you all the 9 gifts. Okay? And you are eligible for it, but there are conditions to it. Hallelujah. And the conditions are, you know, I will not come to that. You should have a walk with the Lord. You should have the right intention. Why do you want to receive the gifts? Why do you want it? So the intentions, everything has to be right. And it's a gift. It's a gift. You know, what is a gift? Gift is something that I give you freely. Oh, Sister Vetonia, this is a gift that I have brought for you. And you just accept it. That's it. You don't have to labor for that. Hallelujah. The Bible says that if a son asks a worldly father that give me a bread, will the father give him snake or will the father give him stone? No. Being an evil father, if the father knows how to give good gifts to his children, why not the Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Hallelujah. Because it is not only required for ministry, the 9 gifts, it is also required for you to deal with the powers and the demonic spirits that would fight you and that would stop you. Hallelujah. So, by the way, my topic is not the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but this is what will happen. This is what will happen when you start to fast and pray. Your eyes will open up. You will start to see dreams about people. You will start to see dreams about your family members. Dead people will come into your dream. The attacks will come. I told everything in the last Friday, so I will not come and do all those things. Those who were not there can refer back to the last Friday sermon that is uploaded on our YouTube channel for reference. For people who want to, many of you want to go back and rewind the sermons and hear, because things are very hard to catch up. I know that. So many of you want to understand, listen to one sentence again and again so that it goes in your spirit and then your mind opens. Hallelujah. But I want to encourage you to continue to listen to the sermons if even though you don't understand it, try to focus and your mind will open up to mysteries, and then you will become powerful in the spirit. You will inherit power from the Lord Most High. Hallelujah. So, okay, we will come to the book of Daniel. Let's go to Daniel chapter 1. Let's go to Daniel chapter 1. Okay, give me one moment. Let me do some settings here on the Zoom. Hallelujah. Reban Sakachara Balabantia. Okay, Daniel chapter 1. Now, you got to realize and understand when you read, if anyone has read the book of Daniel, Daniel's prayer would bring angels down from heaven. That was the power of his prayer life. How come his prayer life was so effective? You would say, Daniel, my God, his prayers will bring visions, dreams, and angels down from heaven. But from I am fasting from 15 years. Nothing is happening in my life. There are some prerequisites that you need to follow. And that is what we will learn from the book of Daniel. So let's go to the book of Daniel. Hallelujah. And we'll go to verse number 8. Let's read from verse 8. If anyone has found Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, please read that verse.
But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself.
Hallelujah. So here, Daniel comes in the picture of the scriptures, okay, for the first time. So Daniel is brought, this young man was brought captive from Judah, and now he's in Babylon. And now he's selected for a training session, for a training schedule, for a graduation course in the king's palace. And here the devil throws offers at him to eat of the what? The delicacies of the king's table. Those of you who are listening to me for a long time, I have told you that Babylon is a government of Satan. And Babylon, the government, refers to trees in the spirit. In the Garden of Eden, there was a tree, and Satan came to Eve to deceive Eve to eat of the fruit of the tree. And as soon as Eve ate the fruit of the tree, the jurisdiction and the government of God, the covering of God on Eve's spirit left her, because she collaborated with a different government. Okay? So this government, she declared herself independent from the government of God, from the covering or the Holy Spirit. So many times I have told you, in short, those of you who don't know, I told you that man was created in such a way that Adam had a human spirit, but that human spirit was non-operative. It had no operations when Adam was created, because it was the Spirit of God that covered man's spirit, and the Spirit of God would take decisions for man. So man was created completely dependent on God. It was like an engine, a powerful car engine, which will go and do high speeds on the roads. And that engine was given a BMW body on it for hallelujah. So man's spirit was like that engine, and the body, the covering, was Spirit of God who would give. Without the car body, the engine, can your engine without a car body go anywhere? No, it needs a mechanism. It needs a body for that engine. It needs a sedan type, a flat type of design of the car body. So that is how man's being was created. So the government of Satan was not operational, because he had no one under his government. So that is what he brought, in other words, the fruit to Eve. Deceived Eve, and when Eve was deceived and ate of the fruit, the covering of God left man's spirit, because man claimed and man gave allegiance to a different government, that is the government of Satan, right? Hallelujah. That is what happened with Jesus when Satan came to Jesus and told, turn the stones into bread. So I will not come to that. Last time I have covered all those things. So this is what is happening here. As soon as Daniel stepped into Babylon, Satan offered him the offer to join him, to compromise on God's word and to eat the delicacies of king's table, which were not according to the law that God gave Moses. Okay? Hallelujah. So as soon as Daniel came, you are not a special guy. Even if you are a man of prayer, you have to prove your allegiance with God. You have to prove your faithfulness with God. God will test you. Hallelujah. Are we together? And then you will receive power in your fasting when you do a fast. Hallelujah. So Daniel was instigated to compromise on his godly standards, but he would not compromise even a bit, even one inch. Hallelujah. What's there to eat such foods? Let me eat it. Let me do that. Oh, my friends are going to the temple. Let me also go to the temple. Otherwise, they will feel bad. What's wrong in doing that? You are bending your back before the devil and you are worshiping the devil. You are breaking allegiance with God. And such a kind of person goes about fasting, that fasting will accomplish nothing. So one of the prerequisites of fasting is a non-compromising Christian life. Hallelujah. You got to have a backbone where you don't bow down before the devil, where you don't bow down to the traditions and the cultures of the place you are living in. I live in India. There are some cultures that are contrary to the word. So I don't bow down to the culture. I am not following the culture of men. I am not following the culture of India. I am following the culture of heaven. And the culture of heaven is recorded in the word. Hallelujah. Are you guys there? You see, the apostolic ministry would not go and adapt the cultures of people. The apostolic ministry is to turn the world upside down. The Bible says, oh, these people have come here also, who have turned the world, what, upside down. That means when they stepped into places, they brought the culture of heaven in that place. What does the Bible say? The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me so that I can preach the gospel, to preach the gospel to whom? To the poor. You will say, the poor need money. They need financial help. What you will do with the gospel? Because the gospel will change the culture of the poor. The gospel will change the mindset of the poor and remove poverty from their lives. Hallelujah. If a beggar on your street, a beggar in the street of New York, begging for food, you go and give that beggar $500,000. Go and give the beggar $500,000. He does not have the capacity and the appetite to use that amount of money. He will lose it in some days. Are you understanding? For him to become rich, it's not necessary to give him money. You have to give him the gospel, which will change his mindset, which will change his way of living, which will, are you guys understanding? So this gospel changes the culture of men. So Daniel went, oh, this is the culture to eat this type of food, to eat food offered to idols. Otherwise, these people will feel bad. Let me also get along and do whatever they are doing. No, you are a heavenly person. You are the citizen of heaven. Everyone say, I am a citizen of heaven. I know.
I am a citizen of heaven. Hallelujah. Yeah.
So I know some of the citizenship people don't want to lose, but I don't want to lose the citizenship of heaven. That is the most powerful citizenship. Hallelujah. So Daniel did not mix himself with the culture, rituals, and traditions of Babylon. He did not compromise. Okay? He did not bow down. He held fast. No, I am a Jew. I am a child of God. I will do what is written. I will do what I am supposed to do. Okay? Babylon is the government of Satan, which will try to make you a part of itself. by eating of its tree. When you step into Babylon, so Babylon can be anywhere. There are spiritual strongholds in the spirit located at different places. There is the stronghold of Babylon, stronghold of the Philistine, stronghold of Syria, stronghold of Egypt, stronghold of Assyria, and many of them, stronghold of Jericho, right? I will not go into that. So when you enter into a spirit, into a place which looks beautiful to you, which you think that, oh, I will migrate to this city, I will migrate to this nation, and I can, what I am doing here, I can do it better in that city because there are quite a lot of job opportunities. The value of money in that place, in that nation is very high, but you don't know which place you are entering. Maybe you are entering a Babylon. When you go in there, there will be a tax on your life to make you. So when you go to Babylon, the devil knows your requirement, right? You are going there for money, to earn money, and that is good. That is, I'm not saying go, don't go and earn money. But he knows your weakness. He knows your desire. He knows that on what your heart is bent. He knows that you cannot wait on God. And in terms of earning money, he can ask you to compromise. Compromise a little bit. Give bribe to this official and you will get the job. You know that your qualifications are not enough for you to earn that kind of amount. So, but if you give bribe, if you pay, so that is kind of a Babylon, which when you enter in that Babylon, it will try to stall you or make you collaborate with the government of Babylon, something which is against the law of your God, something which is against the word of your God, word of God. Hallelujah. And so your fasting and praying will be effective when your life is dependent on God and your spirit is joined with him. Hallelujah. The book of Corinthians, Paul speaks about that our spirit is joined with the spirit of the Lord. And Daniel kept his dependence on God and not on the government of Babylon, because he knew, you know, I am not going to bow down to this people, because this job that I'm going to receive, because after the 3 years graduation course in King's Palace, right, Daniel was going to get a job in the area or in the office of wise men of Babylon. So he was not hungry to get a job. He seeked God and his righteousness first, and the job followed him and the money followed him. That is how Daniel was. Stand for God and don't think that if you, many of you that you think that if you stand for God, you will lose your job. If you stand for God, you will lose money. If you stand for God, you will lose recognition. That is the devil. That is Babylon speaking to you. But when you stand for God, as Daniel stood for God, the Bible says they were 10 times better in their evaluation than the other men of Babylon. Because when you stand for God, the skills and the ability that for you to do that drops on you from heaven, you will be 10, 20, 30 times better than those who are working in the office, who are working around you in whatever organization. Hallelujah. So there will be a grace upon your head when you stand for God, and you will be Daniel and his companions. When they were evaluated, they were found 10 times better than the other wise men of Babylon. Hallelujah. As a child of God, don't underestimate yourself and don't start to compromise with the world. Don't start to think, oh, these unbelievers are more powerful than me, because you make yourself powerless by compromising. Have a backbone. Stand and function like a lion in that place, because your God is the Lion of Judah, and you got to have the boldness. Do you know cowardness is a sin? To be coward is a sin, is a big sin. Don't, when you go about people, if you are a Christian, tell them I am a Christian. If you believe in Jesus Christ, tell them I believe in Jesus Christ. If you are not doing something, agreeing with something, tell them I follow Jesus. I follow the word of God. That's why I cannot do what you are doing. Hallelujah. When I was in the office, I have worked in the corporate till For around 8 to 9 years, I have worked in the corporate, 8 to 9 continuous years in different companies, corporates and BPOs. And there in the corporates and BPOs, you know how men are and how boys and how girls are, they would smoke cigarettes and they will go down, smoke cigarettes. Then when they will sit together for a lunch or for a dinner, they will crack jokes which are non-veg jokes, which are sexual jokes. They will look a girl going by and they will comment on those things. And as soon as they do that, those things, I get up from that place and I leave. And then they came and asked me, oh, why you are saying you cannot do this? Are you a gay? Are you a gay that you don't have desires for a girl? I told, I am not a gay. I am the real man. And hallelujah. And I am a real man, I have control, and I know the morals that a real man should have. I believe in Christ, and this nonsense I cannot do. You should have the backbone to speak such things. You want a pulpit to preach the gospel. Why don't you preach the gospel at those around you by taking a stand and showing that you belong to Jesus? That is what Daniel was doing. He had a spiritual backbone. He did not. Daniel in his whole life never had a pulpit, never had a ministry. But Daniel's life was the evidence that he was a prophet of God. That God will communicate to him. Hallelujah. Whatever God will do on the earth, God will do nothing without telling or communicating the things that he wants to do to his servants, the prophets. Okay. So this is a prerequisite of fasting and praying. Your life has to be strong in the Lord. You have to have a backbone. You have to be non-compromising. And even if you fall, go before God and tell God, I repent. Please forgive me. The next time that thing comes up, I will not do like this. Hallelujah. So you have to repent and cleanse yourself if you have fallen in that area of not compromising with the world. Hallelujah. Are we together? Daniel chapter 1, let's go to 17 to 21. Daniel chapter 1, verse 17 onwards. As for these younger men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. When you grow in obedience and faithfulness to God, and at the same time have a strong prayer life, you don't need me to anoint you or give you impartation. You will start to hear from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You'd never need an impartation from any other man. You will start to hear from the Holy Spirit when your life is strong in the Lord, and when you are a non-compromising Christian, and at the same time your prayer life is strong. The Bible says Daniel understood visions and dreams. He had that gift. Okay. Verse 18. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all the matters of wisdom and understanding, about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realms. Listen to me. These guys are not evaluated with some professionals in the office who have done MBA or who have done some graduation or who have done a graduation or a PhD in physics. They are evaluated with men having spiritual powers. Who? Astrologers, magicians, sorcerers, soothsayers. Those were the wise men of Babylon who had power. Not in the flesh, but in the spirit, from demonic spirits. And when Daniel and his friends were evaluated and compared with this powerful people, I have told about Balaam. He was a sorcerer, a soothsayer. And if he blesses someone, it remains blessed. Cursed someone, he is cursed. That was the power in his mouth. Such were the powerful wise men in Babylon, operating in demonic realms, demonic spirits in the prophetic office. They would tell something to the king, this will happen and it will happen. So the wise men of Babylon were spiritual men, understanding spiritual dynamics of the realm of the spirit with the help of demonic mediums and spirits. And when Daniel and his friends were compared to those kind of men who had this stature, they were 10 times better than they. Hallelujah. As a servant of God Most High, walking in the ways of God, hallelujah, you are 10 times better than any powerful witch or a wizard. But you believers got to realize that. Okay, let me go ahead. Verse 21. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. So kings would fall down. Nebuchadnezzar fell. Belshazzar fell. Darius came and went. Then Cyrus came. But Daniel was retained in his position. Hallelujah. Kingdoms will fall around you. Thousands will fall by your side. 10,000 by this side. But it shall not come near you. You will remain with God. The Lord will be your security. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. People, kingdoms will come and go. Things will change in the world. But your position, hallelujah, will go. If you are positioned with God in the realm of the spirit, if you have positioned your life in obedience to God and in a life of fasting and praying, kingdoms will fall, but you will never fall. Economy will fall, but you will never fall. Hallelujah. The health around you, the health of people, different viruses, pandemic, endemics, whatever, it will come, but you shall not fall, because this man Daniel had positioned himself in the realms of the spirit, positioned himself with God. So his life, his position, his finances, his health, his family, everything was secured. The king, the government gave him the position of the king. If I ask a carnal Christian, who is the most secure person in the US? You will say the president. Hallelujah. The most secure person, the president. I will, with all due respect, you are wrong. Let me correct you. The most secure person who has positioned himself with God, not the president. Because the Bible says king changed, the kings changed, but Daniel remained. Daniel remained. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go ahead. Now, write it down. Obedience is the platform and foundation on which you can build a life of prayer and fasting. So, when I was preparing the sermon, I tried to keep it as simple as possible, to take the mysteries and take it out as simple as possible so that everyone would understand it and you will be able to be a mighty warrior. So this is one of the secret. Obedience is the platform and foundation on which you can start building a life of prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. This is a platform, the platform of obedience. Hallelujah. On which you got to stand and do your spiritual activities. A platform of obedience is hearing from God. You cannot obey if you don't hear from God. You cannot obey if you don't know the word of God. Reading the word of God, meditating on the word of God, spending time with Him. These are all the basics. So these are all the milk things. But this is what you have to do. Build a platform of obedience, a non-compromising Christian life, a life where you are bold for Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't even be shy. Never be shy of Jesus. The day you are shy to take His name, go back home. When you go back home, cry and repent of it. Repent of it and tell God, take this shyness and covetousness away and fill me with your boldness. Why was I not able to hear your voice and obey you at that moment of time and take your name? Right? So Daniel was very vocal about his faith. He was very vocal about his beliefs. He was very vocal about his standards and about his stands that he would take for God. So his life was built on a platform of obedience to God. And that's why, that is what gave power to his fasting and prayer. Okay. Let's go ahead. Daniel chapter 3. Okay. Before going to Daniel chapter 3, we'll go to Daniel chapter 2. Yep. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2. Let's read from verse 13. Hallelujah. Are you guys there with me? Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. He cannot stop us. You see, you got to reject the situation around you and believe in what God wants to do. Daniel chapter 2, verse 13. So the decree went out and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. What happened is the king Nebuchadnezzar saw a dream, and he commanded the wise men, the astrologers, the soothsayers. Now remember this, even Daniel, what was the evaluation of Daniel? Daniel was what? 10 times better than the other people. But yet Daniel was not promoted. He was kept under other people. Because when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, he did not come to Daniel. If Daniel was positioned on a higher position in Babylon, he went to the astrologers and the magicians and the soothsayers, etc., etc., etc. So Babylon is a government which will not promote godly people to high position. Everyone say Babylon is a government which will not promote godly people.
Babylon government which will not promote godly people.
Okay, hallelujah. Are we understanding that? So
yeah.
Daniel and his friends were 10 times better, and the king knew it, but yet the king did not promote them, because the spirit inside King Nebuchadnezzar was an antichrist spirit, and he would not promote godly men. But God will force King Nebuchadnezzar to promote them. So it was, hallelujah, this death news that came to people, it was a way of promoting his servants. It was a way of God to promote his servants to higher levels of authority. Okay, hallelujah. So Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He told and went to the wise men of Babylon, not Daniel, but the other ones who were having the position, being in the king's palace. He went and told them, I don't only want to know the interpretation, but I also want to know the dream. Because if I tell you the dream, you can manipulate any meaning and tell it to me. So if for me to know that you are giving me the correct interpretation of the dream I saw, tell me the dream I saw along with the interpretation. And the astrologers, the soothsayers were not able to do that, because the dream was from the Lord. And no demonic spirits have access to the mysteries and the secrets of the Lord. If they knew what the Lord was accomplishing, what the Lord Jesus was accomplishing by his death on the cross, the enemy would not have put him on the cross, because the devil had no clue. He had no access to the secret of the cross, to the secret of the death of Jesus, why Jesus is dying. And the devil was the one who helped God in accomplishing God's agenda, because he was unaware of the secrets of God Most High. Right? Hallelujah. As powerful those soothsayers and witches are, they don't have access to the realms of God, to the secrets of God. Hallelujah. That's why they were not able to tell the king. And they said, oh, we cannot tell it. Only the gods whose dwelling are not in the flesh can reveal it to you. How can we tell it to you? So their power was limited in the case where they were supposed to release the secret of God Most High. Okay, hallelujah. So then verse 13 comes up, and then they say, the Bible says the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. So someone knocked at the door of Daniel. Open the door. And when Daniel opened the door, he took out the knife. You have to be killed. You have to die now. Hallelujah. Imagine someone coming at your doorstep with a gun. Open the door. When you open the door and they stand with the gun, I will shoot you now. You have to die. Hallelujah. What will be your reaction? Let's see what is Daniel's reaction. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said, Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? What he said? Why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. Hallelujah. Someone has come out to kill Daniel. And Daniel is this cool guy who is not even in panic. See his composure. I want to kill you. He told, wait. Why do you want to kill me? And he told this. The king has told and passed a decree, kill everyone. Daniel said, I am not going to die and you cannot kill me. And tell me one thing. Why is the decree from the king so urgent? Hallelujah. Write it down. If you have a life of prayer and fasting, the devil cannot take you by surprise. Okay? No situation can give you a heart attack. And you will never panic. You will never panic. You will be in the state of stillness. You will never shake. Those who hear the words of mine and obey them, they are laying the foundation of their house on the rock. And when the wind comes, when the flood comes, and when the rain comes, the house will not be shaken because it was founded on the rock. A real man of God, a real believer who is intimate with the Lord, even death comes and stands in front of him, the death cannot shake his faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you guys there? Okay, remove your mute and say amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Those of you are
who are hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Are you guys understanding till now? Okay. Praise the Lord. So if your life is grounded with the Lord, there will be stillness in your heart. You will have the composure. No situation can shake you. You know, when I started my life, even when I started ministry, small things used to shake me. Oh my God, what is happening? Oh, this attack. Oh, this person is saying this. Oh, this happened in that. But God trained me. And like Daniel, even someone knocks, death comes at my door and stands for me. I have come for you. I will tell, oh, you cannot even touch me. You cannot even touch me. My time has not yet come. I have to do many things for the Lord. That was Daniel. That was Daniel's faith. Do you know why so many Christians don't get healed? Because they don't have a life grounded with the Spirit of God, in the Word of Lord, and a relationship intimate enough with the Spirit of God. So death came at Daniel's doorstep. And death told, I want to kill you. You will die. And Daniel told, I will not die. He rejected death. Okay? And death obeyed that. And Daniel, what Daniel is speaking, Daniel is saying, why the decree from the king is so urgent? Doesn't he knows that there are men of God in the city of Babylon who have connections with the God Most High? Hallelujah. For whom no secret is hidden from that God I serve. So let not the king pass the decree. So why the king has not consulted me? Hallelujah. Daniel knew it was not the confidence of the flesh, but it was the confidence that Daniel had in his God, that he will be able to reveal that whatever is the demand of the king. Okay, because you got to understand, this Daniel is not an Old Testament saint. He is living a New Testament Christian life. The way he is living, the way of his life is New Testament. Why? Because he is living a spirit life, walking with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So this death that came on at his door, it could not shake him. And secondly, it is like he is saying a New Testament word, I can do all things through Christ. Tell me what is the problem and I will do it. Hallelujah. His confidence was not in his flesh, in his skills, but his confidence was in God, because he was living a spirit life. Hallelujah. Christians are not living spirit life. We are Christians for many years, but we are not living a spirit life, a supernatural way of life. Elisha was like that. The king sent a servant to curse Elisha and tell him that he is dead. But Elisha, before even that person came to the door, Elisha told that person, sent by the king, is coming. So Elisha was a spirit man. Hallelujah. How can you live a spirit life? You can live a spirit life when you are completely detached from the things of the world and you have no dependence on the things of the world. But your dependence is on God. And the man who is detached from the world and he depends on God, he does not have to force himself in fasting and praying. He will automatically become a prayer machine. Hallelujah. There are some things that we need to tell. Come to the church, brother. You're the word of God. Don't be in depression. Don't sit at home and think all those things. Come to the church. You're the word of God. We have to force believers. Pastors have to force believers. Oh, why are you not attending meetings? Why you are not coming to the prayer meetings? Why are you not fellowshipping with God's people? Why you are not praying? Please do it. And it's like a force for people. Oh my God, I have to pray. Oh my God, I have to read the Bible. Oh, this thing and that thing and that thing. But when you are living in the Spirit, nothing will be a force. It will be a way of life. It will be a way of life. I don't have to force myself to study the word. I don't have to any longer force myself to pray. I'm no longer, because it has become a way of life. When you have lost your interest and your heart has depending on God. Hallelujah. Amen. A life led by the Spirit where there is no force. So, okay, coming back to Daniel. So, what am I saying? The obedience and prayer life of Daniel equipped him to handle attacks. Believer, as a believer, you are a spiritual warrior and you have to be equipped to handle any kind of attacks. You have to handle, if nowadays, if a mosquito bites you, like a problem that came as a mosquito, small problem, is shaking you, there is a lot of work you have to do in your life. Okay? There is a lot of work. You need to raise yourself up to the stature where you can handle any type of attack. Where even like Daniel, death comes on his doorsteps, but he is not at all panicked. Because he knows that death cannot take him. His life is in the hands of God. Daniel knew it is through prayer he can access the secret and unveil its meaning. Okay? That's why he asked more time from the king. He went to the king and asked him time, because Daniel wanted to pray. What kind of prayer? We will come. Let's go to verse 17 and 18. So after asking time from the king, let's go to verse 17 and 18. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So death is rejected by Daniel, but death has not yet left. It is still waiting for Daniel. It is still waiting for Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, right? So if after the time has expired and still Daniel is not able to give the dream and the interpretation, he will be killed. So death hasn't yet gone after rejecting death. Are we together? So Daniel has to defeat this death and cast it out now. So, and at the same time, the solution how death will go away is by Daniel knowing what Nebuchadnezzar saw in the dream and along with the interpretation. So in order to fight with the spirit of death, Daniel knew the strategy. What is the strategy? The strategy is corporate prayer. Daniel went to his friends and told them, pray and seek mercies from the living God so that the thing is known to me, the thing is known to us, and that we will not be killed like the other wise men of Babylon, right? Hallelujah. Whenever there is an attack from the pits of hell, don't fight it alone. Call your intercessors, call your friends who intercede, okay? And tell them this is the situation, and engage yourself in cooperate prayer, right? Hallelujah. Whenever there is an attack from darkness and death is involved in it, whenever you have seen a dream that in Pennsylvania something is going to happen and you see people are being killed, call intercessors. Release a message in your group and let intercessors and your friends who intercede in the spirit join along and let the matter be known to them so that they can seek mercies from the living God. Are we understanding? Okay, let me give you an example. When Haman, the wicked Haman, was going to kill the Jewish people, there was death attacking the Jewish people and Mordecai. What Esther did was she declared a corporate fasting and praying. Are we understanding? And that corporate fasting and praying destroyed that death, casted the death out. And the one who is trying to kill, he was only killed. Okay, his family was killed and so on and so forth. When Peter was going to be beheaded by Herod, what did the church do? The church engaged themselves in corporate prayer. Right? In the book of Acts. Then the angels were released from heaven. I will come to the, oh my God, it's time. But the angels were released from heaven for Peter's help. And Peter was rescued. So death was defeated. So always remember, the Holy Spirit came to Daniel and told Daniel, Daniel, you cannot do this alone. Go to your friends and tell them this. So that, hallelujah. So see, the Lord cannot defeat, will not cast out death by himself. The Lord will give you instructions what to do. And when you do it, he will be able to cast out death. That is prayer. Are you understanding? The Lord will not come down from heaven and do everything. Do a magic wand and everything will be okay. No. There are some things that are fighting you. The Lord will not come and cast them out without your prayer, without your cooperation. Hallelujah. The problem is Christians are living a defeated life because they are not cooperating with God. They don't follow the instructions of God. That's why many people die. Preachers die. Pastors die because they don't cooperate with God. So Daniel had to follow the instructions from the Holy Spirit. He engaged himself into corporate prayer. And that's how death was casted out. Let's go to verse 19. Verse 19. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Hallelujah. Now. There is another thing. I have to take a whole other sermon on secret revealed to Daniel in a night time. You got to see that along with the obedience life of Daniel, along with him being in the spirit, living a spirit life, engaging himself in corporate prayer, there is another secret. Daniel was a night watchman. If you go on a fast, a wilderness fast, where you are alone by yourself, I'm telling you, you will not be able to sleep in the night. Because either a demon or either God himself will keep you awake. Because it is in the time of the night when men sleep. When men sleep, the Lord communicates to his people. Let me take you to a verse, Job chapter 33. Let's go to Job. Hallelujah. Job chapter 33 and verse 14. It says here, for God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. The Holy Spirit tries to communicate the mind of God, the heart of God, and the word of God to the believers. Yeah, in one way or the other. But what the Bible says, yet man cannot perceive it in his human mind. So, verse 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instructions. Are we together? Hallelujah. So, if you are an intercessor, the time of the night is very important for you, my dear friends. Because something, you see, the mysteries that I am telling you, I know the human mind cannot perceive those mysteries. Even I cannot perceive those mysteries. So most of the mysteries that I release of God has been revealed to me in the night. Sometimes terror falls upon me and I wake up. Terror. Do you know Abraham, when he was waiting for God, he did the sacrifices of the pigeons and all. I don't have time to go in that scripture. A deep sleep fell upon Abraham. And the Bible says, terror fell upon him. And God spoke to him that your descendants will be in captivity for 400 years in a foreign land. Right? Okay. Those of you who know that scripture. So terror fell upon Abraham. And then God spoke to him. You see, Jacob was a very hanky-panky Christian. Not a hanky-panky Christian, but a hanky-panky person who had no communication with God in his lifetime. Whatever he heard is, he would listen and obey the mother. The mother loved Jacob and the mother had him deceive his brother Esau and his own father. You know, the mothers have some favorites. So the mother wants that favorites to grow. Hallelujah. I have an emotional attachment to some of their sons. So they want them to grow. And so Jacob till now was listening to the mother. But once in the Bible, the Bible says that Jacob came to a certain place and he took a stone and made it a pillow. Hallelujah. That was, my God, orchestrated by God for him to do that. By the way, the stone that he took from that place was one of the stones that Abraham used on the altar that had opened the portals of heaven for the angels of God to ascend and descend down. When you create a prayer altar in your house, there will be angelic activities in your house. Angels going up, angels coming down. And the altars that you have created, even your grandparents will use the benefit of those altars and be blessed. That is what Abraham did. And this stone was one of the places where Abraham had built up the altar. And when he took that stone and slept on that stone, when his consciousness was closed, his mind opened, his eyes opened to the realm of the spirit, and he saw a ladder. When it is difficult for God to communicate to you in the time you are awake and doing things, when you sleep, God will come and communicate to you. When your consciousness is closed, when your mind is closed, and when you are in deep sleep. Because sometimes what happens, our mind is occupied with so much of worries, with so much of things of the world, that we cannot perceive what the Holy Spirit is telling us. But when men sleep, God visits them. Hallelujah. So, okay, coming back to Daniel. Are we together, guys? Coming back to Daniel. So Daniel, when he, the main topic has not yet come, and I don't think I will be able to go into that tonight. Hallelujah. The main topic, which includes actually Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10, where his fasting is involved. That is a very important topic, and I think I would decide as of now that I will not take it tonight, because it will take a lot of time, and I don't want to make you tired. So, because that should be a fresh download. Okay, so we will take it the next Friday. So let us go on till some extent, and then we will pray. So this vision, the dream came to Daniel in the form of a vision, right? And when the dream came to Daniel in the form of a vision, he understood that it is the dream that Nebuchadnezzar saw in the time of the night. So if you want to have access to the secrets and the mysteries of God Most High, you have to become a night watchman. I'm not saying don't sleep in the night at all. Yeah, go to sleep in the night, but be sensitive when you go to sleep. Okay? As soon as something happens, you have to catch the frequencies and wake up. As soon as you get the dream in the night, you have to wake up and start praying in tongues. It may be a weird dream out of the blues. You don't know what is happening in the dream. Dead people you are seeing. You are seeing your dead grandmother. You are seeing your dead father. Someone, a demon is coming and giving you a slap. Get up. A demon is coming and punching you on your belly, and your stomach is aching as if something is forming in your stomach. Get up. Get up, my friend. Hallelujah. Get up from that dream and start praying. Because the fasting that you did has provoked the spirits to come and fight with you. Be prepared for what fasting will produce in your life. Be prepared for it. And I am telling you, do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of them, whatever they do. Hallelujah. I was working in a corporate. I was having night shifts, rotational shifts, and as soon as I have 2 days off, I used to have 2 days off in a week. Not Saturday, Sunday necessarily, but Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, Saturday, or whatever. So whenever I had the 2 days off, I would ask the house to be empty and I will sit and fast. And in one of the 2 days of fast, hallelujah, I prayed the whole day. I prayed, I read the Bible the whole day, and I went to sleep at 4 o'clock in the morning. But I thought I will sleep till 9, 10. I was tired, but God had different plans. At 6 o'clock, a demon came. At 6 o'clock in the morning, a demon came. And I saw myself standing in my church. Right? And I saw a person standing beside me in a dream. So I had plans to sleep and rest, but I was in warfare. So at 6 o'clock, I saw this dream. I am standing in the church worshiping God. A person is standing next to me. And I happened to look at that person. And the person also happened to look at me. As soon as I looked in his eyes, I realized it's a demonic entity inside the church. And tongues bursted out from my mouth. I started to look at him and started to pray in tongues. That demonic entity looked at me. As soon as I started to pray in tongues, he was looking at me like this, as if he wants to kill me and bash me. So when he was not able to do anything, he took out his finger, and his finger was like a sharp knife. And with that pointed knife or whatever, like a screwdriver or something, he poked it in my belly. And as soon as he poked it in my belly, my voice started to reduce. And there were people in the church. It's a demonic spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Meka baraba. Mansharabala daraba. Okay. Hallelujah. So as soon as I started to pray in tongues, this guy took a pointed knife and he poked in the belly. So when he poked in the belly, I felt the pain and my voice reduced. So there were people in the church, and I told the people, oh, what are you doing? There is a demonic entity. We have to pray together and cast this entity out. But the church people in that church were looking at me and doing nothing. So as soon as I woke up from the dream, but when I woke up from the dream, that pain was still there. And in 5 seconds, as if you have an ache and it fades off. So in a time of 5 to 10 seconds, it started to fade off. I thought, how real is that? So that was the time I was beginning with the Lord in fasting and praying. So I went to the Lord at that time. Oh Lord, I'm fasting and praying. How can this attacks come on me? I started asking questions to the Lord. And Lord told me, Rahul, you are in warfare. They are fighting you, but that does not mean you are defeated. You have to fight them back. The Lord told me this. You have to fight them back. Then as soon as I started to pray in tongues, maybe in the realm of the dream, the demon slapped you. But when you come out of the dream, you start with tongues and defeat and cast out that demon. Hallelujah. So, and then I realized, listen to me. God told me there is a demon in that church which would resist the church people to pray in tongues. So you got to cast out, that is the demon fighting you, because I was speaking in tongues there. Only I was speaking in tongues. So that demon is fighting with you and blocking the breakthrough for that church, right? So that is the long story after that. Let me not come into that. But listen to me. You are a threat to the devil. You are a threat to the enemy. Are we understanding, guys? When you start to fast and pray, your fasting and praying will provoke the spirits, because you are penetrating into the realm of the spirit, and you will bring revival in churches. You will bring revival in families. You will bring revival in cities, in villages, in nations. Do you think the devil will be quiet and let you fast and pray? No, he will come and attack you in the night. But that does not mean you are defeated. You are a warrior and you have to fight back. Hallelujah. So do not fear when you are attacked in a fast and pray. Do not fear. You have to attack back. They have not killed you. So these attacks will terrorize some Christians. But you have the authority to trample over snakes and scorpions. Nothing by no means shall harm you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Remember the scriptures. Every tongue that rises against you, you shall condemn in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The powers in your church, hallelujah, the powers in your family, the powers will come to fight you when you are emerging as a fasting and praying giant, when you are emerging as a person who is accessing the realms of God through fasting and praying. Hallelujah. Why do you think that God did not come to Jesus, but devil came to Jesus for all his 40 days and tempted Jesus? Why? Hallelujah. Because Jesus was penetrating in the strongholds is a captain. It's the name of his nation is Israel. Hallelujah. A nation that fights. Hallelujah. You, God is a fighter. If you know the nature of God, he's a warrior. If you know the nature of Jesus, more than evangelist, more than a prophet, he is a warrior who came to destroy the kingdom of Satan. He came on earth to recruit warriors who can fight in the battle. And tonight he wants to recruit some warrior. Hallelujah. The hunger to fast and pray. The hunger to fast and pray. Let us close here. We are out of time tonight. Hallelujah. Are you guys there? Hallelujah. Listen to me. You can accomplish nothing in your spiritual walk with God if you, first of all, don't pray, and if you don't add up fasting with your praying. I am not taking a theory sermon from last Friday, but the Holy Spirit has instructed me to teach the people of God on fasting and praying, because this is how you can bring down the power of God against principalities, to come against principalities that are holding the nations, powers of darkness, altars of Satan, government of Satan, demonic spirits that are holding your own family, that are holding many families in your church, that are holding many families in your nation, in your city, in your village. Hallelujah. The secret to bring revival is to stay at the prayer altar. The Bible says Elijah repaired the altar which was broken. One of the things why Jezebel was able to hold the nation of Israel was because the prayer altar was ignored by the people of Israel. So Elijah went up to the mountain and repaired that altar, right? And he cleansed the altar by water, and then he placed the sacrifice, cleansed the altar by water. And he prayed, "Oh Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, show this people that you are God and I am your servant. And I have done all this thing as for your word." So the things that he can get straight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Elijah prayed this prayer after building that altar, that, "Oh Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, show them that you alone are God and I am your servant, and I have done all these things as per your word, as per your word, oh Lord." Hallelujah. So Elijah did not come out of the blues and started to wanted to revive Israel. No, as many of the evangelists do. "Oh, I will go on the street and stay in the secret place." Pull out a strategy from the realm of the spirit. Take a word from God that will become a sword in your hand. And then go out and tear down the stronghold. Take that sword. Because in the whole armor of God, only the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, is a sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. What is the word of God? Not the Bible. The word of God is something that you stay in that for the situation and go out with that word, which becomes a sword in the spirit, and take that sword and start to tear down the clouds of darkness. Start to damage the demons fighting you, demons fighting Israel, demons fighting your church, demons who are fighting strongholds. Start to fight them. So Elijah told that, "Lord, at your word, I have done this thing. So answer me." And the fire came down from heaven on his altar. Consume the sacrifice. And tonight we pray, "Answer our enemies by fire, O Lord. For we repair." My dear friends, start repairing the prayer altar of your house. Start repairing the prayer altar of your life. Because tonight the Lord wants to restore you back. The name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Everyone for whom it is convenient to come on the screen, come up on the screen and let us pray together. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, even as the fire came on the altar, and the people shouted, "Oh, Jehovah is God, the Lord is God." Before that, the people were in two opinions, whether Baal is God or whether Jehovah is God. They were in two opinions. But now, when the fire came on the prayer altar of Elijah, it also entered the hearts of men. And they shouted, "Jehovah is God. Only the Lord is God." Hallelujah. If you want people to receive Christ, it will not happen through words. It will happen when fire comes in their heart. And fire will only come in their heart when it comes on your prayer altar. Hallelujah. So if you want to bring revival, if you want your family to change, don't go and fight with them, convince them. Go to your prayer altar and ask God to send fire. When the fire comes on there, it will also enter the hearts of your family. Hallelujah. It will also enter the hearts. And you don't even know. Then up and say, "The Lord is God. The Lord visited me. I will no longer do these things. I believe in Jesus." Hallelujah.